We're in John chapter 8 on page 1078 and reading from verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Well, Richard, thank you for reading. You'll find on the inside of the song sheet an outline of where we're going. And you may know that we're in week two of a series of four looking at objections to Christianity and Jesus' answer to them. Today our title is, "Will Jesus Take Away My Freedom?" A while ago I gave a talk about Jesus Christ. At the end someone came up to me to make a comment. They were quite nice actually. They said they'd enjoyed the talk. But as that bit ended, she suddenly said, rather out of the blue, "You know, people won't become Christians today while you keep saying you can't have sex before marriage." She saw Christianity as taking away her freedom, so that in the bedroom you couldn't do what you wanted. We could imagine looking at somebody in prison. We look at them through the bars, on the window, trapped in their little room. Well, that's how this woman saw Christians, trapped by God. Let's read verse 31, though, in our passage, John 8:31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We might think Jesus is out to trap us. He thinks it's the other way round. He thinks he's bringing us freedom, which implies, of course, left to ourselves, we need setting free. We're trapped. I mentioned looking at someone behind bars. Of course, that person may be looking back at us, and to them, we are behind bars too. The question is, which room is the prison cell, and which one's for visitors? It'd be quite a surprise, wouldn't it, to turn around in our room and find there's no door out, and to see the person we thought was a prisoner walk out of their visitor's room. That is the reversal Jesus is making here. We might think the Christian is trapped. He says it's the other way around. We're all trapped, left to ourselves. He's come to set us free. Now that is quite a claim. And it's important we think about it together. And we're going to do that under these two headings. First of all, the freedom that enslaves us. The freedom that enslaves us. Jesus talks about being free. The Jews listening to him understand that he's suggesting they're trapped. They object. "We're not slaves," they say. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Now we face a danger of misunderstanding here. The word sin today people often take to apply to murderers, paedophiles, those sorts of wicked acts, but not normal people like us. But what Jesus means by sin, much more fundamentally, is rejection of God. Rejecting God as the one in charge. Last week I tried to illustrate it as if we were made to live in relationship with God, if God is sort of this way and we were made to know him and have him in charge, we've turned around, turned our back on God and said, "I'll be in charge. I'll live my life as I want to." That's sin. And putting it like that, I guess, makes sin sound like the height of freedom. I'll live my life as I want to. I'm free. But Jesus says, if you sin, you are a slave to sin. You're trapped. Imagine a goldfish on top of the TV in the little bowl. It's a little bit bored in its bowl. It's gone over the bridge quite a few times. It's gone under the bridge quite a few times. And it says, I want more out of life. I want to be free. I want to live out there in the lounge. So it takes a running waggle and whoosh, out onto the lounge carpet. Where, of course, it discovers it's not going to live at all. Instead, it's going to flap around on the carpet for a little bit, and then it's going to die. Jesus says our bid for freedom is rather like that. As we say, I don't want you, God, I want to be in charge, we enter a kind of slavery on our way to death. That, if you like, is the kind of big picture here. Let's try and explore it a bit and see how it works out. I've put on the sheet three sort of sub-points. First of all, our moral failure. How does this slavery work out? Well, we see it in our moral failure. Having turned around from God and say, I will live as I want to live, we then do things against God, things that God doesn't like. And Jesus says we're slaves to that. You can put this to the test, if you like, in your own life, if you don't believe this. For instance, you could say to yourself, from now on, today, I will always tell the truth. No white lies, no exaggeration, no spin just to make myself look a little bit better. Try it. How long do you think it'd last? I think you'll find you won't hit the weekend. What about our thoughts? What have we said to ourselves? Okay, from now, no lustful thoughts, no unfairly critical, judgmental thoughts. How long do you think you're going to last? Well, maybe we haven't got to think in terms of days now, have we? I don't know if you saw any of that Cutting Edge program. It was a while ago now. It was called Boys Alone. A group of 10 to 12-year-old boys taken from their parents and put in a house to live by themselves. They were given pot noodles and they were given fruit and veg. There were TV cameras all around the house to watch them and see kind of how they got on. It was a kind of Lord of the Flies meets Big Brother kind of thing. Well, it turns out they went for the pot noodles. Hardly needed an experiment to kind of work that one out. But more to the point, within days they had trashed the house. They were bullying and mistreating each other. There were tears, upset. They take charge, but they can't control themselves. Now you might want to say, well, they're just children. But I would suggest open a newspaper, take a good look at our lives, and you'd see something pretty similar. We've taken control, but we can't control ourselves. However, those things are really only the symptoms. Let's go on to the second thing, the heart of the problem. The heart of slavery is that we are trapped in wanting to reject God. I said we've turned around. Jesus says we are trapped facing this way. He explains it more just after our passage that was read. Go on to verse 42. Verse 42, page 1079. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. Now, I know the devil is a bit of a joke figure today, but Jesus says he's real and he's a murderer and a liar. So he is against the truth and he's against life. could say he's against God. And the most shocking thing is Jesus says to these people, he is your father. Now, he doesn't mean that in some kind of biological sense. He means rather they share the devil's family likeness. Nearly a year ago, my wife gave birth to a little girl, and people came round, as they do when you've just had a baby, and kind of cooed over the baby. And they said quite often, doesn't she look like you? Usually referring to my wife rather than me, but actually she didn't. All new babies look the same, don't they? Am I allowed to say that? Let's be honest, they all look like a variation on E.T. I love my daughter, by the way, don't get me wrong. Now, though, months later, it's true, actually. Someone came in the other day, doesn't she look like you? And it's true, the family likeness is beginning to show. We're all familiar with that idea, looking like your parents, that sort of family likeness, in looks and in character and attitude. And that is what Jesus is talking about here. Having the devil as your father means you share his character, his attitude to God. You're against God. You reject God. See verse 44 again. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. That is, reject God. You're trapped in that. That is what you want. That's your will. As I said, Jesus is saying we are trapped facing this way. Now, as I say that, you might be thinking, well, I don't feel trapped. You know, surely if I wanted to turn around and accept God, I could. Well, imagine I was to say, I would say this, I won't make it personal, imagine I was to say to somebody who isn't a Christian, asked to say to them, you're trapped, you're enslaved to rejecting God. They say, no, I'm not. So I say, okay, why don't you accept God then? Why don't you become a Christian? They say, no. Why not? I don't want to. I say, okay, why don't you change what you want? So that you want to become a Christian? No. Why not? I don't want to. Do you see what's happening there? They are trapped at the level of their desire, what they want. Now I realize, and you may be thinking this, I realize they may want to say, I have reasons for not wanting to. They may have reasons like, I don't think it's true, I don't think there's enough evidence, things like that. And I'm not trying to duck those questions. We love to talk about the evidence for Jesus Christ here. But Jesus here is saying there is a deeper issue than, say, evidence. There is the issue of our will, our desire. And he's saying our desire is to reject God. Your desire is of the devil. And we are trapped in that. One more aspect of this slavery, that is, the payment of slavery is death. Let's just jump back to verse 24. This is one long conversation we've jumped into. Verse 24, Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus is saying, left to ourselves, we'll die physically in or with all our sin, all we've done wrong. Some friends of mine emigrated abroad recently, and they kind of packed up all they owned and flew to another country. And you can imagine sort of arriving there, landing with all their stuff, kind of surrounded by a lifetime's collection of possessions. Well, Jesus is saying we will die and we will face God surrounded by, within, a lifetime's collection of our sin. And Jesus tells us very clearly, God will judge us for that, rightly so. And that will be death in every way. The goldfish jumps out of the bowl, flaps around on the carpet for a bit, and then dies. So with us, we grasped for freedom. I want to be in charge. I want to be free. And Jesus says, we then entered a slavery. We're not in control of ourselves. We're not in control of our lives. We're trapped, slaves to sin, and on our way to death. Now, having talked about that, let's go on to number two and the answer, the slavery that frees us. Verse 31 again. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is offering us freedom here. How does it happen, verse 31, we have to abide or keep his word, his teaching? Now it'd be easy to hear that and think, well, Jesus is going to give us some instructions to obey. He's going to say things like, no sex before marriage, and that's what we then have to do. But Jesus means much more than just here are a couple of rules. He says you have to abide in my word. You have to live in all that I say. In other words, you've got to let me be in charge of your life. You've got to turn around and say you're in charge. If we thought becoming a Christian meant losing our freedom, well, we're right. Perhaps much more than we thought. Not just freedom of what we do in the bedroom. Freedom in every area of life. He's in charge now. He has the keys to all the rooms of our life. We become, if you like, his slaves. But Jesus says when we do that, it's as though we're freed. It's a slavery that frees us. Now, it doesn't sound like freedom to us, so what does he mean? Well, I put on the sheet that, first of all, it's freedom to know God. It's freedom to know God. Look at verse 35. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus contrasts being a slave with a son. The point being that the son, the child, has a place in the house. A permanent, secure place in the house. The slave doesn't. He says, I am the son of God, and if I set you free, you will have a place in the house, is the implication. I'll make you children of God. I'll bring you to know God. He's basically saying, I can turn you round and bring you back into this relationship. I can offer you forgiveness. Acceptance with God, so you know him as your father. I said a minute ago we become his slaves. That is true, but it's not a normal slave-master relationship. We're his slaves. He's in charge, but it's actually a father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship. A loving, intimate, personal relationship with God. That's the freedom Jesus is offering us, freedom to know God again. And secondly, that is freedom because that is how we were made to live. Verse 31, we've read a few times. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. People often think we make up truth today. But Jesus says, no, there's an absolute truth. It's the truth that we were made by God to live in relationship with him. And he says, I can bring you back into that truth, into that reality. And so we are changed to know God and then live with God in relationship with him. And it's truth. It's how we were made to live. Jesus leads us to start living out having God in charge of us. It's not perfect now, but he leads us on in this relationship with God, where we live as we were made to live. Those children on that cutting edge program who had such a terrible time with their pot noodles, I imagine they were delighted to go home to mum and dad. I bet life was much better then, with mum and dad looking after them, taking care of them, in charge of them. They lost their freedom. They weren't in charge anymore. But actually, having mum and dad in charge, well, that is freedom. It works like that. Or maybe a better picture is the goldfish. It's not quite dead yet, by the way. It's still flapping around on the carpet. We pick it up and we put it back in the water. It loses its freedom of the air, which was never freedom at all. It was a slavery. And it's now constrained by the water, which is freedom, because that's how it was made to live. God made us for a relationship with him where he's in charge of us. So yes, you give up your freedom. You're not in charge anymore. He's in charge, but it's right he's in charge. It's good he's in charge. He's our maker and our father, and it works like that. It's how we were made to live. I mentioned that woman at the start who said, people won't become Christians if we say no sex before marriage. There was a survey done a while ago on cohabitation and marriage, and it discovered that those who cohabited before marriage had a higher divorce rate than those who didn't. When that result came out, people were rather confused. Surely it made such sense to try before you buy. You test drive the car, why not the relationship? But in life, it turns out, it doesn't work like that. Turns out, God knows better. God is no divine spoil sport trying to trap us and stop us having fun. Living in relationship with him is how we were made to live. Knowing him, following him, it's freedom. Now, just before we finish, I want to make a last comment on how we get this freedom. Because I'm aware, having mentioned things like having God in charge, you could start to think, well, okay, what I've got to do then is try and obey God. And then I'll get this freedom. But that isn't right. We've said we're slaves. We're trapped. We're trapped facing this way. And a slave can't say to his master, I've had enough now, I'm off to the Bahamas. He's a slave. And slaves need to be rescued. And Jesus says, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. That's what we need, to be set free, to be released by Jesus Christ. So the answer to the response to this is not, right, I'll try and pull up my socks and keep some rules. If we want this freedom, we have to come to Jesus Christ and say, please set me free. I imagine there are people here who have never done that. Well, I'd love to encourage you to come to Jesus Christ. It might be you've got lots of questions. You want to check out the evidence. I understand that. Mark mentioned that Christianity Explored course. Starts tomorrow lunchtime. It'd be a great way to investigate Jesus Christ and ask your questions. Please do that. But it might be you've come for a while, you've had your questions answered, or enough of them answered. It might be you want this freedom. Well, you could ask Jesus for that today. I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute. I'm going to pray a prayer asking Jesus, please turn me round. Please grant me this relationship with God, this freedom. And if you want to, why don't you echo that in your heart? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for how I've rejected you and lived with myself in charge. I see now it's slavery. I ask you to please rescue me through Jesus Christ. Please change me. Turn me round. Forgive me. Accept me. And bring me to know you as my Father. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.